Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9, verse number 27, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You and I need not, and I do not want you to say, well, I've come today to study the Bible, and the first thing He says is, I'm going to die. Well, that is true, and we all know that. But I want to focus on the word live rather than die. Those of you who get our bulletin know that I had entitled our lesson, Today is the First Day of the Rest of Your Life. And so what I want to do in this message today, and that is help us to get the best out of life in the last days of our life. Since today is the first day of the rest of our life, then we want to make it the best days of the rest of our life. In the book of Psalm, number 90, and I'm not going to read the entire Psalm, but I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and if you write in your Bible, I want you to just place a mark by four different verses in Psalm number 90. The first one is found in verse number 4, Psalm 90 and verse number 4. The Bible says, For God, or to God, He said, 1,000 years in thy sight is but yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize that God does not count time as you and I count time. The Bible simply tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross that we can be saved from our sin. God doesn't look at time like I do. God does not wear a Timex or a Rolex or any other kind of an X. Simply the Bible tells us that 1,000 years is just like yesterday with the Lord. The second verse in Psalm number 9 I want you to look at, and that is verse number 9. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says we spend our years as a tale that is told. If you and I, when we come to the last days of our life, if you and I were to write a book about our life, what would we put into that book? Our life is a tale that is told. You and I look at our life. We look at the life of other individuals. The third verse I want you to look at is found in verse number 10. The Bible says the days of our lives, the days of our years, are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. David is simply saying that there will be a limit to the time in which we live. There will be an end of our life upon this earth. That does not mean the end of us, because the Bible says that we're made in the image of God. We have this house, we have this dwelling, we have this body in which the Spirit dwells. And so the day will come when death will separate the body and the spirit. And so the psalmist in Psalm number 90 says, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. I want you to look at the fourth verse, verse number 12. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days. I believe the psalmist is simply saying to us that you and I need to look at our lives and we need to look at our days. In the book of James, chapter number 4, the Bible says, Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, that we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. And James said, Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But if you would say that this or that will do that, if the Lord's will. Why? Because he said, Your life is a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. If you and I go back to the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20, the Bible tells us about a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a righteous king. He was king over the area of Judah. Isaiah was a prophet at that time. And Hezekiah had gotten sick. As a matter of fact, God had said, Hezekiah, you will not recover from this illness. You will die. You're not going to recover from it. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned to the wall and prayed unto God. He reminded God of the good that he had done. God sent a message back through Isaiah. He said, You go tell Hezekiah that he will be healed, that he will recover from this illness. And God on that occasion gave Hezekiah 15 more years to live. I simply ask you and I in this assembly today, if God said to us, if God sent us a message, if God said, I want to tell you, you've got 15 more years to live, how would you live those years? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 33, the Bible says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Since today is the first day of the rest of our life, and since we want to make the last days of our life the best days of our life, I want to give you three ideas out of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that will help us to make these days the best of our life. That when you and I leave this assembly today, that when you and I leave this building today, that when you and I go to our homes or go to our activities or whatever we may do, that it will be the very best not only today, but next week and next month and next year, as long as the Lord shall give us breath to live. Number one is this. If the best years of our life are yet to be, number one, and we must set the proper priorities. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think of the priority of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Romans chapter number 1, Paul made this statement. Paul said, I am a debtor to the Jew and to the Greek. He said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. He said that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul had a priority. Now, we'll not get into a discussion as to why he gave the Jew first and also to the Greek. I simply want us to see that there was a priority. As you and I go back to the book of Luke and we see the life of Jesus Christ as He was going through Samaria, they became angry because they wanted Him to stay in Samaria. But the Bible says that His eye was set on Jerusalem. As our Lord prayed in the Garden of Eden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Show the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter number 6, in the model prayer that our Lord gave. And He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you and I think about this word seek, and when we set the proper priorities, then what we are simply saying, and that is that you and I pursue the right things in life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are millions of individuals today who are suffering in their lives because they have their priorities wrong. We lived in the area of Detroit, Michigan for many, many years. I would go downtown Detroit. And as I would go downtown Detroit into some of the areas there, you could drive down the street and here are individuals, men, laying in the, on the sidewalk. There'd be a brown bag by them. And it was very obvious that they had spent their lives in drinking and they had become alcoholics. And many of these individuals had been quite successful in life. But what do? They had the wrong priority. I want to suggest simply this, that you and I, in seeking first the kingdom of God, now, if you make a note, I want you to write the word kingdom. There are going to be three words, the word kingdom, the word righteousness, and the word things. When you and I look at the kingdom, and the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God, you and I must seek the guidance, we must seek, ladies and gentlemen, the government. You and I must seek God's help in our lives on a daily basis. Look at what the Bible says. When we seek His guidance, in the book of Acts chapter number 9, the Bible said, you remember Saul on that road to Damascus? And a light shined round about him. He fell to the ground. And he asked this question, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? He is seeking the guidance. I want to ask us, to whom are you and I seeking? From whom are you and I seeking guidance? Are you and I seeking guidance from the Word of God? Listen to what the Bible says. John 12:48. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day." Am I seeking guidance from the Word of God? In the book of Psalm, number one, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day or night." In seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, am I seeking the guidance? The Bible says that some men walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They sit in the seat of the scornful. They stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You and I must seek the guidance that comes from God. Not only must we seek God's guidance, ladies and gentlemen, but we must seek the glory that comes in the kingdom. The Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church." That through the life of Larry Acuff, that through the life of every child of God, that the name of Christ is glorified. But not only that, but we must seek his government. What does that mean? Simply this. The Bible says, "Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." Am I seeking to be a servant of Jesus Christ? "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." The young men and women who have never finished school, and most of the time I'm talking about college, most of them nowadays finish high school, and they have never done so. Why? Because they have not set the proper priorities. There are many individuals today in their lives have not set the proper priorities in becoming a child of God and becoming a Christian. The rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Number one, my friend, you and I must set the proper priority. Number two, we must seek personal purity. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's personal purity. And you see, it's kind of interesting. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 31, and he talks about the righteousness that is of God. Not Larry Acuff's righteousness, but he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and that is the righteousness of God. My friend, listen, we must desire it. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, that we are to think on those things that are pure and holy and good, those things that are truthful, that you and I seek after a life that is pure, a life that is good, a life that stand before God in the day of judgment and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The rest of our lives, are you and I seeking personal purity? We are living in a society today, ladies and gentlemen, when we see the lives of individuals, we see the types of lives that individuals live in which they are living a life that the devil is proud of. They are living a life that says, "I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to satisfy the lust of the flesh. I'm going to make myself feel good. I'm going to look at my life and I'm going to do what I want to do and when I want to do it and as I want to do it," rather than seeking the righteousness of God. Seek you first. Not only must we desire it, but ladies, have you ever thought about where it comes from? There are so many individuals who have the idea, the concept, that I'm just simply going to be good on my own. Well, you can do it. There are a lot of good folks. I'm not saying that they're not good people. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you and I have the right kind of an influence in our world, it must be through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at this. In Matthew chapter number 5, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So in Matthew chapter number 6, when the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," there's that word kingdom. There's that word righteousness. Now listen to what He says. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." So what do? We set the proper priorities. Secondly, we seek a personal purity. But number three, we see the promised prosperity. Now look at this. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now look at this. You go to Matthew chapter number 6, and the Bible says, now consider the birds. What do? The Lord God feeds them. Look at the three things, folks, that you and I seek after. Food. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. For if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? He said, look at the birds of the air. God takes care of them. Food. Now what's that? Fashion. You can go over to the mall and there are about half a dozen department stores or half a dozen stores over there, and you go in there and what do you find? You'll find shirts and jeans and sweatshirts and hoodies, and I'm going to tell you, it looks like somebody ran them through a wringer and then tore part of the sleeve off, and you pay $250 for a shirt. Why? Our boys and girls think they've got to go to school, and on the front of their shirt has got to be some kind of a, I got to have some, why? Because I want to be in fashion. You see, ladies and gentlemen, food, fashion, fitness. I have never seen such a craze that we have going on in our world. They've got to be fit. Now, I'm not against exercise. I just don't do it. I'm not getting up at 4 in the morning and run. I don't run at 4 in the afternoon. I saw an advertisement. If you're interested in fitness, you can join Gold's Gym for $1 for the first month. That'll be $500 after that. But anyway, you can get in for $1. Why have all these fitness places opened up in the last 25 years? Because we have convinced ourselves that if I can just look trim and slim... Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom, and His righteousness, that's purity, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That you see, ladies and gentlemen, when I put Christ first, when I seek Him first, when I seek His kingdom first, when I make a decision as Joshua did in Joshua 24 and verse 15, as far as me and my house will serve Jehovah, when I make the decision to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then what happens? All of these things shall be added to me. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days they shall return. David said, I have never seen his seed begging bread. So when you and I look at these things, ladies and gentlemen, God said, I will take care of you. There is no more exciting, enthusiastic, clear statement of the Bible than Matthew chapter 6. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, the Bible said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse number 20, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 6 and verse 33 teaches us that when I put Him first, that He will do what He has promised to do. I read this story. Some of you may have read it. But as I thought about the souls of men, as I think today about individuals who have an opportunity to do the will of God and yet maybe never do it, maybe it becomes just a side thing with them, something folks think about, but they've never obeyed the gospel, never become a child of God, never had faith. They have faith, they believe in God, but not to the extent that it motivates them to change their life by repentance and confess Christ before men and to be baptized for the remission of sins. Out in a Western school, Western college, out in the West, small private college, college. They had a religion department. It was kind of a religious school, and they had a course that every student, regardless of what their major was, every student must take this course in religion. A fellow by the name of Dr. Christensen taught that course. And he had kind of gotten discouraged in a way, and yet because all the students would come in, they'd take the course, they just kind of flipping about it and just halfway would do it, and they didn't show any interest. It was just something I got to do, and I'll go in and I'll take it and I'll get it over with, and then I'll go on my way. There was a young man in his class by the name of Steve. Steve was quite popular. As a matter of fact, he had a good build. He was the center on the football squad and was well known. And one day, Dr. Christensen asked him, said, "Steve, would you stay after class?" He was a good student. Steve stayed after class, and Dr. Christensen asked him a question. He said, "Steve, how many push-ups can you do?" He said, "Well, I do every night. I do about 200. Dr. Christensen said, "Could you do 300 push-ups?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know." He said, "Look, can you do? Do you think you can do 300 push-ups? I'd need you to do them in sets of 10. Just tell me you can do 300 push-ups." Steve said, "Well, I'll do it. I'll do it." He said, "I want to do something Friday, and I want you to be here early in class, and I want you to be here and be prepared to do 300 push-ups in sets of 10. Steve was there that Friday, and students began to come in, and when they came in, Dr. Christensen had these great big boxes of donuts. Now, I'm not talking about Krispy Kreme, I'm not talking about them little bitty things. I mean, they had cream on the inside of them and on the top of them and chocolate. I mean, these were huge. And so he had enough for everything. He goes to the first person, Cynthia, in the first aisle. He had, "Cynthia, would you like to have a donut?" Cynthia said, "Yes." He turned to Steve and he said, "Steve, I need you to do 10 push-ups so Cynthia can have a donut." She got the donut. He did the 10 push-ups. He goes on down the aisle, and Joe is sitting there, and he said, "Joe, would you like to have a donut?" Joe said, "Yes." He said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut?" And he goes, and here after that first aisle, and Steve has been doing these push-ups, and he goes to the second aisle, and there is a fellow there by the name of Scott. And he said, "Scott, would you like to have a donut?" And Scott said, "Well, is Steve going to have to do 10 push-ups?" He said, "Yes." He said, "In that case, can I do my own push-up? I'll do it." And Scott was probably as athletic as Steve was, and probably could have done it just as easy. Dr. Christensen said, no, Steve's got to do the push-ups. "Do you want to do it?" He said, "That's not fair. I want to do it." Dr. Christensen said, "It's my class, it's my donuts, and the rule is, you get a donut, Steve does 10 push-ups." He said, "I don't want one." Dr. Christensen turned to Steve and he said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut that he does not want?" And he sets it on his desk. And he goes to Allison. And she said, "No, I don't want one. No." Dr. Christensen turned to Steve and he said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for Allison so she can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Now, by this time, Steve said, "Can I just stay down on the floor? Do I have to get up?" And he said, "No, you can do it however way you want to." And Dr. Christensen said to Robert, who was probably the most, I guess, talkative unbeliever that he had in the class, and he said, "Robert, would you go over there, please, and just make sure that Steve is doing the 10 push-ups?" And he went to Linda and he said, "Linda, would you like to have a donut?" She said, "No, I don't want one." Dr. Christensen went to Steve and he said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for Linda so she can have a donut that she does not want?" Now other students are coming in. They began to see look and see something is going on in the class. And they've already been down the four aisles, and now Dr. Christensen, some kids had come in and were leaning against the wall or sitting by the heater, and finally there was a boy outside, and his name was Jason. And Jason started, and they said, no, Jason, don't come in. Stay out." And Steve said, "No, let him in. I'll do 10 push-ups for Jason to have a donut." By the time Dr. Christensen had gotten to the last student, tears were in the eyes of almost every student, as well as Dr. Christensen. He said, "I want you to understand what Jesus did." He said, "Most of you have come to this class. You don't turn in your work. You do it halfway." He said, "I want you to understand that Jesus died for you whether you accept it or not. I want you to understand what He did, just as Steve did the 10 push-ups for you and you did not want the donut. Many of you are leaving it on the desk. Do not leave Christ on the desk. Do not, my friend. Christ died that we can be saved. Just as the donut was left on the desk, those individuals who refuse to do the will of Christ, who refuse to seek the kingdom of Christ first, are leaving the donut on the desk. Don't do that.